maayong buntag sa tanan. That means good morning. In behalf of the Barnard Christian Academy, the poor kids and their families, and the entire Filipinos, I would like to say thank you so much. Daghang salamat to Pastor Roger Womer, church leaders, and the entire church family for your partnership in building God's kingdom, particularly down there in Davao City, Philippines. The entire Filipinos had been blessed because of your obedience to the Lord with your partnership as what God has said in doing God's the Great Commission to go and disciple to all nations. And once again, in Filipinos, saying, maayong buntag, mabuhay, o daghan kaayong salamat. God bless you all.
It truly is a privilege to be here at, okay, see if I can get it in one breath. St. Thomas Independent Brethren in Christ Church in Mount Pleasant Mills, Pennsylvania, United States of America, a northern hemisphere, planet Earth, third planet from the sun, got it. All in one breath. Thank you again also for Ivy for giving us the program and for Peter on the Sunday school lesson and also for Dale on the sound and for Uncle Ozzy and Aunt Shirley. I realize I'm not supposed to call him Ozzy here. It's Oscar, the Venners, for coming to my dad's burial last weekend while we were here. My dad, Harry Barner, at 91, was finally gone to, as the children had sang today, his reward in heaven, because he is home now. Really exciting. Speaking of home, Elvie reminded me to remind you to pray for us. In 9 days, we've started the final countdown. We are going to go back to the Philippines. We have been delayed because of COVID for 2.5 years, and it's going to take over 2 weeks to get there. It used to take 3 months when they went by boat, but once they invented airplanes, it was a great thing. We could get there in 35 hours or so. We're going to the other side of the planet. We're going to be, a week from Tuesday, driving a rental car down in New York City from New York, and then flying from, not New York City, to New Jersey, then flying to Boston, and then flying to Tokyo. 50 hours later, we'll finally end up in Manila, and then we have to quarantine for 2 weeks, stuck in a hotel room with an alarm on the door so you can't ever leave until those 2 weeks are up, and then we fly down to Davao that last hour and a half, and they test you. Now, you know that awful COVID test where they poke your brain with a Q-tip? I thought they got the seat behind me. They went so deep. They got to test us 3 times. I'm like, oh, man. Anyway, pray for us on that trip because it's going to be quite exciting. Also, I thank the Lord for something special. Up in Sealands Grove, there's a thrift store, and they had a dollar sale. So our family's been on a diet. I lost 25 pounds, so my jacket didn't fit. I got my $1 jacket from the thrift store in Sealands Grove, and it fits. This is great. Until I get back to the Philippines and I eat rice again, and then I'll blimp out again. But nonetheless, we praise God for all the blessings he's provided. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that we can study it. We pray that right now you best Pastor Warmer and Penny down in South Carolina. Guide them and keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen. When you have a flashlight and you turn it on, it's not light coming from you. It's coming from the flashlight. And yet you can shine it all over to help you see things. The other day, I went into my dad's barn. After dad died, the family gave us the house. And I went into the barn, and I turned on the flashlight. And there, right in front of me, is this spider web with this giant elephant of a spider right in front of me. And had I just gone in without turning the light switch, that thing would be crawling all over my face. And that wouldn't have been a nice thing. But you know what? The light did not come from me. It came from connection to that light switch. John the Baptist in John chapter 1, verse 1, is spoken of when it says he wasn't the light, but he showed the light as he pointed people to Christ. When you point people to Jesus, you are shining the light in their lives. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Occasionally, somebody comes across our pathway at just the right time, when all seems bleak, and they just brighten our day. You know, this church sponsors two children in our school in the Philippines, and every month they're very faithful in giving the money to sponsor those children. You have been a light in their lives. A few days ago, I think it was Wednesday, in our house in New York, there's four girls living there, and they'll be there after we leave. One is Abby, and one is her friend Ruth, who's from the Philippines, and she's going through college as well. Then there's Brianna. She's going to be working up in New York as a lifeguard. And then my brother Phil's daughter, Alyssa, who's, they're all about the same age, between 19 and 21 years old. Alyssa was there on Wednesday. We'd already gone through the Zoom meeting for prayer meeting. And then I was working on addresses for the envelopes and didn't get done till about 1:30 in the morning. Finally shutting up the computer, and I hear this screaming from the bathroom. And she calls out, Uncle Paul, Uncle Paul, I need to rush to the hospital. I'm like, okay. And then she's on the phone with her mom. She thought she had appendicitis. We found out afterwards it was just gallstones, but still, I mean, it's very painful. And so when I brought her to the hospital at 1:30 in the morning, I'm waiting for 7 hours there in the morning in the hospital. And about 4 o'clock in the morning or so, I'm trying to sleep, sitting there on the chair in the waiting room. And this nurse comes over, says, would you like a blanket? Now, I think she was really an angel, because when she came over, that thing came right out of the dryer. I mean, it was so nice and warm. And the next few hours just breezed by because I had my nice warm blanket. You know what? That nurse was my light in the darkness. We praise God that we can be the light in people's darkness by shining Christ in their life. You may know that my dad died on Christmas Day last year of COVID. And then I ended up in the hospital just a few hours later, struggling to breathe with COVID, and they thought I would die as well. Elvie and PJ and Abby were cuddled up in the middle of the living room on a floor. They had COVID as well, but not as severe as mine or Dad's. And my lungs were 1/3 filled with liquid. And the doctor said, you're probably not going to make it unless it turns around. But you know what? Elvie contacted people on the internet. You guys prayed for me, and I was healed. We praise God that I'm here now. I'm not there next to Dad in the graveyard where I'll be putting a flower on his grave later on today. You were my light in the darkness. The doctor, when he came in and said, something happened. Your numbers are improving. It looks like you will survive. I'm like, thank you for being my light in the darkness. And not only that, I continued to improve. And even after I got out of the hospital, I was able to compete in the Ironman triathlon in Maine. I still have my bracelet. It was just a couple of weeks ago. And I was able to be in the 1.2-mile swim and the 56-mile bicycling and 13.1-mile running, 70 miles. And I crossed that finish line. I was like, yes, Lord, you give us the victory. And then I'm going to be in another one, number 14, next year in Geneva, New York, in the summer. You became the light in my life, and I want to thank you for that. Of course, Jesus is our light, but you shone his light as you're praying for me. When we proclaim Jesus to someone, we're like the person who shines that flashlight, shining the light into somebody else's life. I'd like to focus on a passage in John chapter 8. And although the verses are going to be on the screen, you can follow along in your Bible as well. The teachers, John chapter 8, verses 3 through 12, Jesus showed his light into the darkest moment of the life of a woman in the New Testament who was caught in adultery. The teachers of the law, I'll move this up a little bit, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Jesus. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." To be a light to the nations, we need to see the world as Jesus saw it. What did Jesus do again? The teachers of the law and the Pharisees had brought this woman caught in adultery, and they made her stand in front of everybody. While this woman was used to sinning in secret, the people brought her into the daylight, exposing her sin. You know, when I was in high school, for public speaking class, my teacher was an atheist, and yet he had approved me to be able to share my faith in class. The speech was to be a step-by-step speech. One guy told how to mix drinks. People told how to walk their dogs. And I told how to accept Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. I was in 11th grade, and I got an A on the speech. A few hours later, a friend of mine, Steve, met me in the library between the aisles, and he said, "Paul, could you explain to me how I can accept Jesus into my heart?" And there, right next to the biography of Winston Churchill, he prayed to become a believer in Jesus Christ. We bring light into the darkness of people's lives. We bring light. Looking at the next verse, and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery." This woman was embarrassed. I would be too. What will I do now? My reputation is trash. And yet, Jesus was there, shining his light in her life. You know, a few years ago, while we were here in New York State, a friend asked me to share my faith with her brother-in-law, Jimmy. Now, Jimmy was a disgruntled Vietnam vet. And he just didn't like churches, didn't like Christians, but he liked me. Because all the way from the Philippines, on his birthday, I would call him and I would wish him a happy birthday. I'd sing to him and I'd send him a birthday card. And Jimmy always looked forward to hearing my voice. So Judy said, "Paul, I'm going to invite Jimmy and you to a picnic at my house. Can you share your faith with him at that time?" And Jimmy shared with me about his life. He said, "I was in Vietnam. I was there in the jungles, and an explosion happened nearby, and everybody in my platoon died except me. And I don't know why I'm still here." I said, "I know why, Jimmy. So that you could live for this day right now and pray to receive Jesus into your heart. Would you like to do that?" And right there, he prayed, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know you died on the cross to pay for my sins. I'm sorry I've sinned. Please wash my sins away by your blood and make me clean and make me your child. And I promise to live for you for the rest of my life." Jimmy's life has changed over the past 4 years. Over these past 4 years, he's always smiling. He's not angry anymore. His life was changed. Why? Because we bring light into people's lives. What do we bring? Light. We bring light. You know, going on in this story, in the law, in verse 5, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? See, the Pharisees wanted to trap Jesus. Instead, Jesus was ready with an answer. Once while we were flying back to the United States from the Philippines, we usually sit together, the four of us, on the plane. But every once in a while, there's not enough seats together because we get the cheap seats. And so we are last minute coming in. And this time, there were only three. And I was sitting on the window next to a sailor, 25 or so years old. And he noticed that on my wrist, I had a bracelet with five colors. And he said, "What do those five colors mean?" I said, "Well, the black bead on this bracelet represents the fact that we've sinned. The red bead represents the fact that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. His blood was spilled. The white one is that we are clean. And the green is that we grow as a Christian by reading the Bible, praying, going to church. And then the gold one is that we're going to be in heaven someday on streets of gold." He said, "Can I become a Christian?" I said, "Yes, we can." So there, 6 miles up in the air, going 600 miles an hour, somewhere over the Pacific Ocean, a new child of God was born. And there, when we landed in San Francisco and California and the United States of America, we were getting up, getting our bags. He said, "I came on this flight to be a sailor in the United States. But now, because you didn't have a seat next to your family, I'm on the gospel ship." Praise God. Because we brought what? Light. We brought the light of Christ to others. This is what we do. They were using this question, verse 8, as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Jesus. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. See, Jesus wasn't shaken. Instead, he used it as a tool to show people their own sin. Evangelism should be a way of life for us. In the Old Testament, one of my favorite verses is in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah says, "If I remain quiet and hold this message inside, the message of hope burns in me like a fire." I consider it kind of like a microwave cooking from the inside out. I cannot hold this message in. You and I are shining the light in other people's lives. We are the ones to turn on the light of Christ. It doesn't come from us. It comes from him. But we're the ones to shine it. Going on into verse 7, when they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin cast the first stone at her." Is there anybody who's perfect here today? Okay, I see your hand over there. Oh, you're combing your hair. Okay, so there's nobody perfect here. Raise your hand. You see, there was a power play here. Jesus was asking that same question. And he knew that if anybody threw a stone, then everybody else would take their stones and throw them at that person who threw the stone, because nobody's perfect. He says, "Let the one who is without perfect cast the first stone." That would be a sacrilege to say that they had never sinned. I had met a guy in the Philippines named Randy. Every week, I would have a Bible study and prayer meeting in McDonald's. We approved it with McDonald's. We made sure that we bought Egg McMuffins and so forth. And there we would have our prayer meeting. One time, this guy named Randy came over. And he said, are you reading that Bible as a real, true, factual book?" I said, "Yes, totally true. The Bible tells me that we can have our sins washed away by Jesus' blood. Have you ever prayed, Randy, to receive Jesus in your heart?" And he said, "Well, I hope so." I said, "You can know so. 1 John 5:13 says, 'These things have I written in that you might know that you have eternal life.'" Do you believe in Jesus? And there, over our Egg McMuffins, right next to the window, Randy became a child of God. With a briefcase in his hand, he was not the same guy punching his time card at work as he was the day before. He was a child of God because we bring light. Again, Jesus stooped down on the ground and wrote on the ground. Jesus had revealed that all people have sinned. Now, some theologians think that what Jesus was writing in the sand was actually the names of sins of the people in the crowd. When I was back in the Philippines, I had decided to knock on the doors of everybody who lived in the village where we lived. There were probably 3,000 people who lived there. But I made that a goal. And I started Bible studies in people's homes, if they were willing to have me do that. One guy, his name is Jose. And Jose listened as I was teaching the children in his home. Neighbor kids would come over, and we would sing together and read the Bible and pray. Back in 1997, both Mother Teresa and Princess Diane died in about the same week. And I asked Jose, I said, "You heard about this, right? Do you know the similarity between the two?" Now, the two people were different. One was kind of old, one was kind of young. One was kind of rich, one was kind of poor. But they had something in common. They liked to help other people. But I have a question, Jose. Will their good deeds get them to heaven? He says, "I don't know." I said, "They won't. Good deeds can't get us to heaven. Do you know Jesus, Jose?" And Jose said, "I don't know the Jesus you're speaking of. The Jesus that smiles on kids' faces as they sing in my living room." I said, "Today you can know Jesus." And there he prayed to receive Jesus into his heart because we bring light. At this, those who heard it began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Why did the people leave? They had made the decision to reject God's plan of salvation. They dropped those stones that were weapons before. Jesus actually brought peace into people's lives because they dropped their weapons. You know, on another flight, I was going from Colorado to New York. Once again, the family was in their three seats and I was in the other one. And I sat next to Frank. Frank was a guy who worked for, well, he was retired, but he used to work for UPS. He was in his 70s. And I told him, "You know, I used to work for UPS when I was paying my way through Bible college and seminary. For 2 years I worked there, and every once in a while I would load the shelves and put the package on the wrong shelf. And the driver would have to go back and try to find the package that wasn't there. It was in the wrong place." I said, "Frank, what happens to you as a driver when I put the package on the wrong shelf?" He said, "It messes up my day." I said, "So, what about you? You are the package, Frank. Are you on the right shelf? Are you going to heaven?" And there, in that airplane headed towards Albany, New York, Frank prayed to receive Jesus into his heart. And I said, as we were getting off the plane, "What have you done, Frank?" And he said, "I have been relabeled. I am now on the shelf headed for heaven." We bring light into people's lives. Jesus straightened up and asked the woman, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" Jesus spoke to this sinful woman. People wouldn't even go near her, but Jesus spoke to her. The accusers had spoken about her. Jesus spoke to her. Where we live in the Philippines, right across the dirt road, is a bakery. And that bakery, the people work late hours of the night, into the morning, like 3 or 4 in the morning, just so that they can get the bread hot out early in the morning and they can wait for it to rise. We invited them over to our place for a Bible study. The very first Bible study, 16 of them prayed to receive Jesus into their hearts. It had never been explained to them before that they can take this step of salvation, this step of faith, and become believers. We bring light into people's lives. When Jesus asked the woman the question, "Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." When Jesus asked this woman a question, he waited for her answer. He was listening. He was curious. He was not just spouting off. You ever talk to a cult group that comes to your door, and it's like you're not a real person? They're robots. Like, you just press the button, you ask a certain question, and they have a pre-programmed answer. We as believers aren't like that. We have a heart, we have a soul, we have a mind. We care about people. The very first person I ever led to Christ was when I was in third grade. George, he's Chinese, and he was in our elementary school in upstate New York. And we were in the backyard. He would come over to our house to ride bikes and so forth. And when I explained to him why I go to church so much, there in the backyard, I said, would you too like to receive this gift? And when he said yes, and we prayed with George to become a Christian, just about a year later, he had to move to Canada. And he sent me a letter, and I treasure that letter. I still have it now. And in the letter, George is explaining how he's joining Bible studies in Canada, in Ontario, to study more about the Bible. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The world is filled with people who have sinned. Every day, their world gets darker and darker because of their sins. But we have Jesus, the light, to shine into their lives. We can shine the light into their lives as they pray to receive Jesus into their hearts. In the Philippines, we explain it with three words, kini, kana, kato. Kini means here, kana means over there, and kato means way over there. The idea is that we are reaching people in our Judea and Jerusalem, right near where we are, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. PJ, our son, right now is in Lyft. That's in the Adirondack Mountains of New York, and he's learning how to serve Jesus deeper by telling people about Christ, but knowing his faith well himself. Abby's training to be a nurse. She's going to college so that she can help other people and be the light in people's life. Last week, we buried my dad. Oh, clicker's not. Okay. Oh, I'm going forward instead of backwards. Anyway, you get the idea. Dad lived a life well lived. You know what? At Dad's funeral, at his memorial service, a guy named Dan Cragen, I read his letter, and he said, you know what, your dad was my teacher in industrial arts, and because he was a love teacher, I wanted to be a teacher myself. I went to college to become a teacher. I came back, and I taught in the same school alongside of him. And the first day of class, he put his arm on my shoulder, and he said, be patient with them like I was patient with you. You can make a difference in the life of a person. Right nearby, kini, across the street, kana, or kato, on the other side of the earth. At the end of desert dirt paths, in places where you may never see face to face, and yet you can touch people's lives. Well, my clicker stopped working, so you'll just have to get me shooting from the hip. We have licensed teachers, but our teachers have a challenge now because our teachers cannot see the kids face to face because of COVID. As a result, those kids are being able to go on cell phones and we deliver papers to their homes. The teachers have to wear face masks and social distance. But you know what? In half a month, we're looking forward to seeing our teachers, to encouraging them. Right now, they're doing the funeral for one of the leaders in our church who died of not of COVID, but of another sickness. We're going to be there for them, just like Jesus shone the light in this woman's life. Thank you, St. Thomas Church. You have been a light in the darkness for people that you've never met on the other side of the world. It's like you have lit a torch for us today here in Mount Pleasant Mills, Pennsylvania. And we're going to carry that. They don't allow fires on the plane, but we're going to carry that torch in our heart and shine it in the lives of people. Thank you for sending us halfway around the world. We're going literally on a wing and a prayer. Two wings and a prayer. Abby is going to sing one last song, and this song has to do with the one that we serve. The light that we shine is the light of Christ. He died so that we could live.